Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the Christian Research Journal, an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. If you're not presently subscribing, you can subscribe and get the current edition of the Bible Answer Man Christian Research Institute and all the information in the journal as our gift to you. The Christian Research Journal, the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, will be coming out to you, again, as our way of saying thank you when you subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. So the first issue is free. The cover story is the Islamic State Islamic. We ought to recognize that as I'm speaking, jihadists fighting for the Islamic State or ISIS have been committing a range of systematic abuses. That includes mass executions, rape, forced conversions, the seizure of property, destruction of churches. And these jihadists claim that they are simply obeying the commands of Allah and Muhammad. But many Western leaders, including our president, maintain that the atrocities that are being committed by ISIS or ISIL or the Islamic State are strictly forbidden in the religion of Islam. So the question is, who is right? Since Islamic doctrine and practice are defined by Allah and Muhammad, that question can be answered only by examining Islam's most trusted resources themselves. And when you do that, you'll find that the Quran and the Hadith are filled with clear commands to subjugate or kill unbelievers, hypocrites, and apostates. Muhammad said that he was ordered to strive hard against the unbelievers and the hypocrites and be unyielding to them. The Quran claims to be perfectly clear in its commands, and Allah repeatedly warns Muslims that anything but complete obedience is a sign of unbelief. Reinterpretation of Allah's commands is thus extremely difficult to reconcile with Islamic principles of exegesis, and innovation is regarded as a heinous sin. Given an honest reading of the Quran and Hadith, a brutal theocracy is exactly what we would expect, as even some liberal Muslim leaders are now beginning to acknowledge. You'll want to read the article. It has to do with whether or not the real Islam will finally stand up. Answers the question, is the Islamic State Islamic? The article, a must read, but it's only one of many articles in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Another one of the articles that is noteworthy is an article titled Professor David Barish and the Talk. It's written by Dr. Paul Nelson. And before I spend a few minutes with Dr. Paul Nelson, I want to go right to the article that he's referring to. Every year, David Barish, as a professor, gives a talk. He gives his students a talk about evolution and religion and how the two might get along, and more to the point, how the two don't get along at all. He says, I'm a biologist. In fact, I'm an evolutionary biologist, although no biologist and no biology course can help but be evolutionary. And that's where my talk comes in, he says. It is irresponsible to teach biology without evolution. Evolution is not merely a theory, but the underpinning of all biological science. Teaching biology without evolution would be like teaching chemistry without molecules or physics without mass and energy. Since Darwin, we have come to understand that an entirely natural and undirected process contains all that's needed to generate extraordinary levels of non-randomness. In other words, in the talk, Dr. David Barish is saying that no evidence exists for intelligent design in biology, random variations, and natural selection do the designing. He says to his students that human beings are nothing special, that they're animals like all other animals. And he says in his, quote, talk to students that are coming into his classes, that the problem of natural evil is insoluble and breaks the back of traditional theism. Dr. Paul Nelson, who was a fellow of the Discovery Institute specializing in developmental biology and evolution, has written an article for the Christian Research Journal that counters the talk, and he joins us now on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Good to have you back with us.
Hank, it's wonderful to join you.
I always enjoy your speaking and your writing. This article is compelling, to say the least.
Well, when I was asked to write it, it reminded me, reading Barish's piece reminded me of my own experiences as a college student. So it kind of brought back this whole rush of memories of having similar confrontations.
You start, and the article really revolves around this point, that in the talk, the claim is that no evidence exists for intelligent design in biology, and you say this is utterly false.
It is utterly false. The problem for many students is they want to please the professor. It's a natural response. You want to get a good grade, and it looks like he's got the authority of the scientific community on his side. And so what I'm doing in the piece for the journal is encouraging students to realize that there's a lot more going on than they might realize. In particular, the case that Barish is making for evolutionary theory is much weaker than most people realize.
So what you have is a tremendous amount of bluster.
Yes. And in fact, in the article, I talk about Barish by comparing him to the biblical figure of Goliath. You know, a lot of words and a lot of intimidation, but someone that you can bring down with a well-placed stone if you know what you're doing.
You know, this is the kind of thing that's happening in many different avenues. I was just reading Newsweek earlier today, and there's an article by Kurt Eichenwald, and the article is titled, "The Bible So Misunderstood It's a Sin." And in the article, he goes on to point out that the Bible is just a bad translation, a translation of a translation of a translation of hand-copied copies of copies of copies of copies, and on hundreds of times, and therefore what we have is completely unreliable. But again, when you read the article, tremendous amount of bluster, but not a lot of fact.
That's right, and I think this is a problem that actually extends deep into the history of the church and even the history of God's people. You may recall the passage in the New Testament where the Pharisees say, well, none of the learned people have followed this man, you know. And so there's always this role of academic or scholarly, so-called scholarly intimidation that believers need to overcome. So I want to encourage young people in particular not to take the bluster at face value. Now, that means they're going to have to do their homework. Because in my life, the way that I have felt real intellectual freedom is by mastering a subject. In the case of evolutionary biology, learning it in every detail. In fact, I was told by an advisor in my graduate studies I would have to be a better evolutionary biologist than the other students. And he said, and if you do that, you'll gain the freedom to critique the theory. So really, I think I'm encouraging students, don't be intimidated. Plunge into the subject, learn its details, and that will give you power and mastery and the freedom to responsibly challenge someone like Barish.
And this is important. I mean, this is not just an academic debate. You've got one point of view, Barish has another point of view, but there's no real consequence to either. It's ivory tower stuff. There are real consequences to the talk that is given by David Barish to his students. In his view, human beings are nothing special. He points out to his students that there are merely animals like all other animals. And if everything is a function of brain chemistry and genetics, then there is no free will. In fact, I was reading a book by Alex Rosenberg. He is the R. Taylor Cole Professor and Chair of the Philosophy Department at Duke University. And in this book, that's precisely what he says. There's no such thing as free will because we are just brain chemistry and genetics. There is no difference between right and wrong, good and bad. There's nothing that ultimately can be forbidden in a universe that is merely material. And history has no meaning and it has no purpose. So when you are telling kids in quote-unquote the talk that they're merely animals, you would expect that they're going to live their life in a far different way than if they are told that they're created in the image of God, that the Imago Dei makes all the difference in the world.
I couldn't agree more. And you're stripping away from a human being his or her reason for life, for living, for getting up in the morning. Life is hard, and if you strip away from people the hope that they should naturally have about their own existence and the sense of purpose and dignity about their own being, you're robbing them of their essential humanity. In a case like that, sadly, it doesn't surprise me that we see college students despondent and suicidal. I would never want to try to face the difficulties of adult life with such a worldview. Frankly, I have to be honest with you. I don't think someone like Rosenberg really actually believes that. He may, but why get up in the morning if that's your view? I think you're right, Hank, that there are essential questions of truth and meaning and purpose that go far beyond a simple academic dispute.
Another point that he makes in quote-unquote the talk is the problem of natural evil is insoluble, breaks the back of traditional theism. We would say, on the other hand, that theism has the only plausible explanation for the problem of evil.
I think that's right. And the very terms that are being employed, like evil and good, presuppose a worldview, presuppose a metaphysics in which you have absolutes. You have things that you can plausibly call evil or plausibly call good. And again, I think there's a deep incoherence in what Barish is saying, because if he's right, we just have molecules in motion. We simply have matter doing what it does, and we're the consequences of that. And our perceptions, our very perceptions of right and wrong, are themselves unreal. So I think if you take his what Daniel Dennett called this Darwinian acid seriously, not only does it destroy human meaning, but it really ultimately destroys rational coherence entirely. So there are some fundamental problems with Barish's position.
I've often said that the issue of origins is the apologetic issue. How one views their origins ultimately determines how they live their life. Your comment?
Again, I couldn't agree more. If you believe, genuinely believe, that your existence is strictly material, determined by impersonal forces, then there's nothing stopping you, really. There's nothing stopping you from being the biggest thug imaginable. And in fact, I often think that someone like Joseph Stalin, who went to Orthodox seminary as a young man, he was educated in Georgia at the very best academic institutions there, rejected that, the whole theistic worldview, after he read Darwin. He took it seriously, and look at the consequences for humanity.
Dr. Paul Nelson, he is a PhD adjunct professor in the MA program in science and religion at Biola University, and he's a fellow of the Discovery Institute specializing in developmental biology and evolution. He's an absolutely fantastic writer. Even if you didn't agree with him, the writing is worth the reading. The article is titled Professor David Barish in the Talk, When Goliath Starts Bragging, Go Find Your Sling. Thanks for being on the broadcast today.
Thanks, Hank. Anytime.
And the Journal, of course, is an award-winning magazine no Christian home should be without. You can subscribe online right now by simply going to equip.org. And the first issue, this issue, comes out to you free of charge.
Professor David Barish informs his students each term in what he calls the talk that the more we know of evolution, the more unavoidable is the conclusion that human beings are produced by a natural, totally amoral process with no indication of a benevolent, controlling creator. Learn how Christian students should respond to such academic intimidation in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Subscribe to the journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
The widely quoted astrophysicist Michael Turner once commented on the remarkable fine-tuning of the universe with a smile. He said, "The precision is as if one could throw a dart across the entire universe and hit a bullseye 1 millimeter in diameter on the other side." Well, far from being insignificant, we are indeed a remarkably privileged species. The new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, investigates the special properties of carbon, water, and oxygen that make life possible. And it explores unique features of humans that make us a truly privileged species. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thank you for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to further CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to help equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Jihadists fighting for the Islamic State have been committing a range of systematic abuses, including mass executions, rape, seizing of property, and the destruction of churches and mosques. While ISIS claims that they are simply obeying Allah and Muhammad, many Westerners and Muslims maintain that such atrocities are strictly forbidden in Islam. Who is right? Other topics include Paul, Second Adam, and theistic evolution, unpacking anime's spiritual depth, what has art to do with evangelism, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Are humans the accidental products of a blind and uncaring universe? Or are they the beneficiaries of a cosmic order that was planned beforehand to help them flourish? Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life is a new documentary film that explores growing evidence from physics, chemistry, and biology that our universe is exquisitely fine-tuned to support intelligent beings like ourselves. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I was mentioning the Newsweek cover story on the Bible. It's written by a fundamentalist from the left, a spiritual terrorist seeking to decapitate truth, to foist his unique brand of fundamentalism on the masses through sophistry, sensationalism, through sleight of mind, and through ignorance. But there are some things that he says in this article that are arresting. Perhaps the most significant thing he says is that America is being besieged by biblical illiteracy. And that is true. Now, the point he makes or draws out of that is false, but it is true that most Christians don't read the Bible they pretend to defend. And that is a woeful condition that must be changed. Christians must not only read their Bibles, but they must learn how to mine the Bible for all its wealth. Because if they do not, they will fall for the sophistry of articles like the cover story in Newsweek. So I want to challenge each one of you listening to my voice right now, if you're not reading the Bible on a regular basis, or if perhaps you haven't read through the Bible, that you make a commitment before the Lord to do that this year. And you can start to read through the Bible. And when you do, you will come up with all kinds of questions. We're here to answer those questions. I've written books, produced materials to answer those very questions. In fact, the very objections against the historic Christian faith that are made by Kurt Eichenwald in Newsweek, I answer in my book, Has God Spoken? As I was reading through the article, I thought virtually every single argument that he makes against the Bible to completely devastate its credibility, as well as the credibility of Christian worldview, I have addressed specifically, directly. You read through the comments after the article on the web, and you find all kinds of people who are very, very excited about this article and say, it's about time that Christianity got bashed. It's about time that Christianity was broken. It is about time that we had the courage to once and for all bury this dead religion. And then someone says, well, this is sophistry, it's sloppy journalism, it's sensationalism. And then an atheist comes back and says, well, yeah, give me one example of where this is wrong. Give you one, my book takes on every single argument that he makes. Has God Spoken? I wrote it for that very reason. I also did a flip chart to make all of the principles memorable and simple to comprehend. Those tools available, you can find them on the web at equip.org. But back to my challenge. Read the Bible through and through this year. I've developed a legacy reading plan. It is unique. It's unique in that it requires you to process books of the Bible rather than piecing bits of books together. because the goal is to comprehend the essence God is communicating by reading each book as a whole, not to lift passages out of context or try to make passages walk on all fours when they're not intended to. It's learning how to mind the Bible for all its well. The overarching objective of the Legacy Reading Plan is to read through the Bible once a year, every year, for the rest of your life. Now, the reading calendar is naturally segmented into seasons and then the seasons into months. At the beginning of each year, you know that during the winter, your focus is always going to be on the Pentateuch and poetry, approximately 250 chapters. In spring, it's going to be on the historical books, approximately 250 chapters. In the summer, it's going to be the prophets, 250 chapters. And in the fall, the New Testament, approximately 250 chapters. And each season is further broken down into months. And therefore, every January, your goal is to read through Genesis and Exodus, and every December, to read through the Synoptic Gospels and Acts. And of course, there are going to be times when you will naturally read 10 chapters in a sitting, and others when you're going to read one or two. But more important than that, you will read the Bible just as you read other literature. Again, a unique reading plan. You can find the plan on the web. Simply go to the web and type in the Legacy Reading Plan. You'll find the plan and an explanation for how you can use the plan to read the Bible, again, not in bits, but in books, by genre. And you'll understand the essence of the books. There's other things that I point out, how you can find a quiet place to go to read that becomes your place of refuge, much more the Legacy Reading Plan. You'll find it on the web. It's free of charge. My challenge is simply to get you into the Word of God, get the Word of God into you. It will revolutionize your life, particularly if you learn to read the Bible for all it's worth or mine the Bible for all its wealth. Again, you can go to the web, equip.org, and you can see the resources that I talked about, the flip chart, where I use an acronym so that you can defend the Bible as being divine as opposed to merely human in origin, the book Has God Spoken, and more. But you can also find the Legacy Reading Plan there, and it is absolutely free of charge. My challenge is start reading through the Bible so that you will not be biblically literate, but rather biblically literate. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Efren, Houston, Texas, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Efren.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Yes, I had a question. So I wanted to know, how do we know God was behind the rise and fall of the nations in the Old Testament? And how can we know that the prophecy given through the prophets was not recorded after the fact? You understand? Does
yeah,
that make sense?
Absolutely. And this is one of the things that you find is a defining characteristic of the Bible. And God himself in the Word of God says this through the prophets, like Isaiah. He says, I told you these things long ago before they happened. I announced them to you so that you couldn't say my idols did them, my wooden image and metal God ordained them. Or in the words of Jesus Christ, I have told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe. So there are many prophecies that are given in the Bible that cannot be relegated to history written after the fact, that cannot be relegated to good guessing, common sense, or even to luck. So we know the Bible is the Word of God through its prophetic prowess. Daniel is a classic case in point. There's no question whatsoever that Daniel is writing in the 6th century before Christ. In fact, I give all the arguments against those who would say it's history written after the fact in my book, Has God Spoken? But Daniel's writing in the 6th century and gives a succession of nations which could not have been done without God inspiring him to do that. In other words, it couldn't be done through simple human calculations or speculations. In stark contrast to what Daniel was able to do, if you look at modern prophecy pundits like Jack Van Impe or Hal Lindsey or Tim LaHaye or John Hagee, and the list goes on and on, you find out that they have one characteristic in common. They're 100% wrong 100% of the time, and yet people continue to listen to them. This is in stark contrast to what you find in the Bible, which turns out to be 100% correct 100% of the time. And what I do in my book, Has God Spoken, is I lay out these prophecies, including explaining the majesty of typological prophecy. There are many skeptics to the Bible, and they will say, you know, a lot of the prophecies that are claimed in the New Testament aren't prophecies at all. In fact, Matthew in Matthew chapter 1 claims a prophecy, and when you actually go to that prophecy, it has nothing to do with Jesus, it has everything to do with Israel. So, Matthew is simply dead wrong. The problem there is they don't understand the majesty of typological prophecy, and I explain that as well in Has God Spoken.
Okay, he says, I'll have to definitely get that book by you, and I thank you.
So. You got it. Thank you so much for your call. I'm thinking as I'm sitting here in my studio right now answering questions that Isaiah is one of the most stunning passages of all of the scriptures. And sometimes when I think of the words of the prophet Isaiah, they send chills through my body. God says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked out the heavens, who has held the dust of the earth in a basket or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance. Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They're regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless, less than nothing. He brings princes to naught. He reduces the rulers of the world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. But on the other hand, the Lord, the everlasting creator, the ends of the earth, who does not grow tired or weary, and whose understanding no one can fathom, he gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak, and those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run. They won't grow weary. They'll walk, and they will not faint. The Word of God is enduring, everlasting, and you know what? You can not only read the Word of God, but you can know Him intimately, not just as an explanation, but an experience. Back with more answers. Please stay tuned.
10 raised to the power of 120 is an incomprehensibly large number. That's the number 1 followed by 120 zeros. In fact, that number is vastly greater than the total number of atoms in the entire universe. But remarkably, if the energy of the Big Bang were different by just one part in 10 to the 120th power, life would not exist in the universe. The new documentary film, Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, presents scientific discoveries pointing to an ultra-fine-tuned universe that is the handiwork of a super intellect. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to invest in the work of CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back with more.
Thank you.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
Bill Nye, the science guy, professes, "I'm insignificant. I'm just a speck of sand. And the Earth is another speck. The Sun is another speck, and the galaxy another speck. I'm just a speck on a speck orbiting a speck among other specks in the middle of specklessness. I suck." Well, far from being insignificant, what the scientific evidence really suggests is that human life is the intended outcome of exquisitely fine-tuned parameters in the physics and chemistry of our universe. All this is explained in Discovery Institute's documentary film, Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. A growing number of evangelicals are accepting theistic evolution without considering the weight of biblical and theological evidence against evolutionary theory. The Apostle Paul's analogy between Christ and Adam in Romans 5 is central to Christian soteriology, yet it does not seem compatible with an evolutionary theory of common descent, whether naturalistic or theistic. Other topics include, will the real Islam please stand up? Did ancient extraterrestrials visit Earth? The Torah, God's Word, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. In the new documentary film, Privileged Species: How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, you'll discover the special properties of carbon, water, and oxygen that make life possible, and explore unique features of humans that make us a truly privileged species. Hank Hanegraaff says this enjoyable and persuasive high-quality film presents scientific discoveries, not mere conjecture, that point overwhelmingly to an ultra-fine-tuned universe as the handiwork of a super-intellect. Anyone watching will know there is a creator. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Johnny in Missouri, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Johnny.
Hello, Hank, my brother in Christ. It's an honor and a privilege to be part of this ministry a month ago and to listen to you on the radio every day.
Bless you.
Yes, sir, I am blessed, and my cup is overflowing. I tell you, praise God, hallelujah. What a great honor to listen to you every day. And I got a question about the Holy Spirit. But before I get started on the Holy Spirit, I do understand the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as one. And about 2 months ago, I started listening to you on the radio. And then all of a sudden, I've got a big big raise, and I said, okay, I've got an extra $100 a month. I need to start giving to my tithing. But then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit kicked in, and every time I listened to it, it said, you need to help that ministry, and it'll grow and grow and grow. So I said, okay, let me call my church up. I called the elder of the church, and I told him my situation, and he says, you don't worry about the church. He said, you're giving to your tithing to the church. He said, you listen to the Holy Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit telling you to give to that ministry, you give to that ministry. So I told the wife that's what we're doing. So she got online, and we are part of the ministry of this every single month. And I tell everyone else that listens to this ministry, if the Holy Spirit is talking to you, if it's a dime, a quarter, a hundred, whatever it may be, you listen to that Holy Spirit, and you help this ministry. Got to listen to the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And I give faith to all glory of God. And it's like it says, you just keep giving, and God just wants to make that, keep giving you those blessings and making that cup overflow. So my question is for you, Hank, is my sister loves Jesus, but when she calls me sometimes, she just wants to pray for me, which is wonderful. But she starts off saying, our Holy Spirit, we come to you, and I ask you to bless my brother. And she's always talking to the Holy Spirit. And I'm a little confused about that. I thought maybe you have some gray hair with some great wisdom for me that I can share with her about praying to the Holy Spirit, because I've never done that. I always go to the Lord and Jesus Christ, and she always talks to the Holy Spirit. So you got any wisdom for me?
Well, Johnny, I think what you were communicating is a lot of wisdom, because the biblical pattern is to pray to the Father in the name of the Son and through the power of the Holy Spirit. But having said that, we do recognize that there are interpersonal relationships within the Godhead. And so there is nothing wrong whatsoever with thanking the Holy Spirit that He's leading us into all truth, or that He's guiding our decisions as we walk through this travail of tears. We can thank Him that He has raised up leaders in the church and that He has empowered them. You know, we say, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. So there is nothing systemically wrong with addressing the person of the Holy Spirit and thanking Him for His empowering presence, or for the fact that He not only indwells us, but He infills us in the sense of giving us the ability to do what we couldn't do on our own. Every time I come into the studio, in essence, I say, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. And I'm asking the Spirit to empower me, to enable me to not just touch a head, but to touch the entirety of a person.
Oh, well, fantastic. Thank you for that great wisdom. It's very easy to understand, and I thank you for clearing that up for me. And I know God's going to continue to keep blessing your ministry, and I thank you again. I'll be listening to you tomorrow. So thank you again.
Hey, thank you, Johnny. Boy, you got to love that passion. And you know, this is completely unsolicited. I mean, people call up and they see the impact of the ministry. But I think more than that, as Johnny was talking about, they're led by the Holy Spirit. And I think it would be in concert with the will of God to pause for a moment and talk about that. You think about the move of the Spirit, without which everything turns to gravel in your teeth. Perhaps the greatest example of that is Paul. Has a very fruitful ministry in Asia. And then the Spirit moves, and he receives a vision, a Macedonian man calling him to come to the Macedonian territories. And what's particularly exhilarating about the passage is that Paul, the very next day, leaves his fruitful ministry in Asia. He boards a ship, and he heads for Macedonia, ends up in Philippi, chief of the Macedonian territories, and there he meets Lydia. And Lydia comes to faith in Christ. And you think about this move of the Spirit, what happens? Well, we have the advent of Western Christianity, and that has been the greatest force for the gospel, not only in terms of the ethics and mores being inculcated in a culture, the advent of science, but so much more, as the West has become a mission-sending agency to the world. Think about the move of the Spirit today. It may be in the inverse, because in the West, we have lost our way.
So many people today have a said faith rather than a real faith. The very gospel has been diluted, not just in the culture, but in the church. We have become microcosms of the world as opposed to change agents. Conversely, if you look at what is happening in the global south, that is, in essence, Asia, where Paul had the vision. There in the global south, people are coming to faith in Christ by the thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions. I think of one missionary that I was training a few months ago. He has had the privilege, as a result of the move of the Holy Spirit, through his mission team to lead 27,000 people to faith in Christ, to start 440 house churches. But here's the challenge. Those Christians need to be fed, because without feeding, without discipleship, they become like tumbleweed. They have no root. And so the Christian Research Institute is involved in a global initiative, a move of the Spirit, whereby we can translate the materials, the wealth of resources that the Lord has entrusted with us, into languages like Mandarin. There are over a billion Mandarin speakers in the world. The information we have in the area of apologetics and biblical literacy and countering the cults, and that's particularly important because the cults are picking off new believers by the tens of thousands. They don't have to use Christian ethics. They twist the scripture. They use sexual manipulation, all kinds of other manipulative tactics, and the missionaries need ammunition. So CRI has never intended to be an occupying force, building offices and big ministries in other countries. No, what we want to do is be military advisors and arms dealers. What I mean by that is we want to provide the ammunition that the missionaries already in the field so desperately need. So on the one hand, we want to provide the possibility of a renaissance in the West by continuing to be faithful in the ministry God has called us to here. But on the other hand, we also want to respond to the move of the Holy Spirit. The move of the Spirit, though, that Johnny was talking about is paramount, because whatever you do that's done in the flesh can become successful. But if it is not imbued by the power of the Holy Spirit, again, it becomes so many filthy rags. It becomes a human enterprise as opposed to the stirring of the Spirit. I'm also compelled to tell you that we have to have a biblical concept of what the stewardship of our time, talent, and treasure involves. The Bible teaches a form of Christian capitalism. The moment you use the word capitalism, I think a lot of ears quickly tune out, but hear what I have to say. What I'm talking about is responsibility associated with wealth. The Bible never promotes the possession of money for the sake of money, but instead Scripture encourages us to use money for the sake of the kingdom. A biblical view of wealth involves having, quite frankly, an eternal perspective. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves break in and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." It's so crucial to realize that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who dwell therein. God is the landlord. We're just tenants. We didn't arrive with anything, and we most certainly aren't going to take anything with us when we leave. And just remembering that fact of life will save us from a world of hurt. Poverty doesn't equate to piety. Riches don't equal righteousness. The truth is this: God prospers some, and he puts others in more humble circumstances. If there was a one-to-one correspondence between godliness and wealth. The godliest people in the world would also be the wealthiest people in the world, but that certainly is not the case. It's important to view wealth with eternity in mind. In other words, to lead our lives here below as responsible stewards, whether we have a little or a lot, because one day, at the judgment, God Himself will richly reward you. It is your bank statement, therefore, in heaven that counts. If you fix your hope on the one you have down here below, you're bankrupt, no matter how many zeros you can count next to your name. The reality is, no one can serve two masters. Either, as Jesus said, he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one, despise the other. And then Jesus makes the application, you cannot serve both God and money. Money is the vehicle through which missions can take place. It's really, in essence, why we ask people to stand with this mission, with this ministry, prayerfully and financially, to recognize that giving is not giving in a crass, material way that we so often attribute to it. It's investing in the kingdom of God. It's an investment in the lives of people. You can't take money with you, but money can go places you can never go on this earth. It can literally facilitate ministry in China. It can facilitate ministry in sub-Saharan Africa, in Latin America, where the move of the Spirit is quite evident. And it's so critical that through those resources, we are able to equip legions of people ready always to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them, with gentleness and with respect. So once again, in this season of giving, as it were, we ask you to give, not through compulsion, but with a grateful heart, recognizing that what you give can make a difference, not only in time, as important as that is, but also in eternity. We're out of time. We look forward to seeing you right back here next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The widely quoted astrophysicist Michael Turner once commented on the remarkable fine-tuning of the universe with a smile. He said, "The precision is as if one could throw a dart across the entire universe and hit a bullseye 1 millimeter in diameter on the other side." Well, far from being insignificant, we are indeed a remarkably privileged species. The new documentary film, Privileged Species, How the Cosmos is Designed for Human Life, investigates the special properties of carbon, water, and oxygen that make life possible. And it explores unique features of humans that make us a truly privileged species. To receive your copy of Privileged Species on DVD as our thank you for your financial support, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to further CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max McLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.